We desperately need a healthy dose of realism about the Christian's life on earth. And here's why. If you start out thinking that the Christian life is going to be like heaven on earth, you will not follow Jesus Christ for long.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And today, Colin, we're beginning a new series entitled Don't Lose Heart.
Yeah, and with everything that's going on in the world, it is very, very easy to lose heart. You look at your own life, you look at the pressures you're experiencing in one way or another, very easy to lose heart. We're going to look at a marvelous chapter of the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's the answer to a great statement of the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 and verse 16, where he says, "We do not lose heart." How? Right. I want to know, how do I not lose heart? And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is all about. And so we're going to look at this whole area for our encouragement.
Well, no big surprise. We're going to start with the first five verses of the chapter. So I hope you'll open your Bible and join us there as we begin a message entitled, Prepared for Something Better. Here's Pastor Colin.
As we gather for worship today, the world is torn with increasingly ominous conflicts. We watch the news, we wonder what will happen next. It is easy to lose heart. There's a huge moral shift that is taking place in our culture from a basis in God and His Word to a basis in us and our desires. And as we see it happening so quickly, it is easy to lose heart. There's a growing drift in many churches becoming more about us than about God, more about gathering the crowd than honoring the Lord, and it is easy as we see that to lose heart. And on top of all of that, there are the personal burdens that many of us bear and carry, long struggles over health, the endless round of treatments and the draining effects and the wondering if you are ever going to get better. For others, the distress over loved ones, life at home has been soured perhaps by some member of the family. You don't rest. The place that was once a place of refreshment and recuperation and restoration is no longer a place of peace. And some of you would say today, you know, my life is not what I want it to be. This is not what I signed up for at this stage of my life. I never thought that I would find myself here, and it is easy to lose heart. Now, if you have the Bible open in front of you, you will notice that the title for our series is taken directly from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, where Paul says, "So we do not lose heart." And if you're like me, you might read these words and say, really? We don't lose heart? Well, please tell me how that is possible. How am I supposed to live in a world like this and not lose heart? How am I supposed to face the pressures that are around me that sometimes seem to overwhelm me with discouragement? How am I to carry that without losing heart? Well, the answer to these questions is in the verses that follow 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Verse 16 to 18, the end of chapter 4, really gives us the headline on how we do not lose heart and why we do not lose heart. And then the answer is delivered in full in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is going to be our focus. So let me just draw your attention very briefly to the headline, which is in three contrasts at the end of chapter 4. Verse 16, Paul speaks about our outer self and then our inner self. Though our outer self, the body, is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, he has a second contrast between what he calls our present affliction and then our eternal glory. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And then in verse 18, the third contrast is between what is seen and passing and what is unseen that lasts forever. We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, that is, they're going away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So here's the headline. We're dealing with the outer self, that is all the pressures and stressors that are part of life in the body. We're enduring this present affliction, that is all of the circumstances of life that may bring pressure to bear upon you. And we face the raw discouragement of what is seen, that is the world so often in conflict and the church so often in compromise. Put all of this together and it is very easy to get discouraged. But Paul says, verse 16, we do not lose heart. Why? How? Well, because our inner self is being renewed, because there is an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs all of the afflictions that are around us, and because we fix our eyes on what is unseen, not what is seen. Now, that's the headline. And any good headline in a newspaper or in a magazine will make you want to read the article that is underneath it. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, with these three contrasts, is the headline that whets our appetite for the full explanation of why, as Christians, we do not lose heart, which is given to us in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And that is why we are going to camp out in this chapter, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, for the next 7 weeks. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the extended answer to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. In other words, it tells us how not to lose heart. Now, I have two headings today as we take the first step in this new series that will frame the first part of our answer as to why we do not lose heart. And here's the first. What we have in the first verses of this chapter is a healthy dose of realism about the Christian's life on earth. A healthy dose of realism about the Christian's life on earth. For we know, verse 1, that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. Now, earlier this year, we had a whole series in which we were thinking about the soul. This series begins with the body. Always remember that God has given you life through the union of your soul and your body. He knit them together in your mother's womb. And here God speaks about the body as a kind of house for the soul. The body is our earthly home, verse 1. In other words, the body is pictured here as the house in which your soul lives. Now, the obvious question then is, what kind of house is the body for the soul? And the answer is, we live in a tent. This tent that is our earthly home, verse 1. Now think about this. God does not say that your body is a fort. He does not say that your body is an impregnable castle. He says the very nature of your body in which your soul dwells is that it is like a tent. That is, it is to be compared with canvas, ropes, and pegs. A fragile structure, an adequate housing for the time being, but never intended to be your final home. Now think of this tent that is your body. It is made of tough canvas. It has strong ropes. It can endure some heavy weather, even gale force storms. But it is only canvas, and the ropes can fray. And they do have a breaking point. Think of your nerves as being like these ropes. There are limits to what your body can take. There is a delicate chemical balance in your brain that is rather like canvas that can tear. Your central nervous system can carry a certain load. But it also, like the ropes, has a breaking point. So when you see this, and it is very important to grasp it in the Word of God, I live in this body which is a tent-like structure, not a fort, not a castle. When you see this, it will not surprise you if the children of godly parents sometimes struggle with conditions and disorders that are hard to bear and even harder to diagnose. Their bodies are only tents. When you see this, it will not surprise you if you were to find out that a missionary who is serving God and is pursuing godliness is also on antidepressants. You see, you hear these two things, you think, well, how are these two things possible? If you think it's not possible to hold these two things together, it's because you've not understood that the body in which we live is like a tent. It's a fragile structure for the best. Will not surprise you if someone who was respected in Christian ministry has to step back because of particular pressures that have come to bear, perhaps in relation to family life. The bodies are only tents. So I am calling this a healthy dose of biblical realism about the Christian's life on earth. And some of us have got into difficulties and confusion and found it difficult to make any sense of our own experience because we have got the idea that somehow these bodies are like forts or they're like battleships. But God says that is not the case. Your body is like a tent.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Prepared for Something Better. It's part of a larger series called Don't Lose Heart. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. You'll find the app for free at your app store. That's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching when you're on the go. But whether you listen on the radio, through the app, or online, it's all made possible through your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book Pastor Colin has picked out. It's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. We'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Your body is like a tent. Second, in this tent, which we live, this body, Paul says we groan. Look at verse 2. In this tent we groan. Verse 4, he says it again. For while we are still in this tent, as long as we're in the tent, we groan, being burdened. Now, I know that some of you are enthusiastic campers. I mean, canvases just sounds wonderful to you. You're the kind of folks that say, forget your fancy hotel. I'm not even interested in renting an RV. I like the canvas and the ropes and the pegs, and I like my fire right out there and cooking my bacon and doing my s'mores and all this kind of thing and all the rest of it. Well, I expect Paul thought very well of tents too, because you remember that he was a tent maker. But listen, none of you who are such enthusiastic campers are doing it year-round, right? And if you were, you would soon be groaning. Groaning because of the difficulties of life in the body is part of the Christian life. And here's what I want you to get today. Being more godly doesn't change this. You see, some of you know what it is to groan because of a particular fragility of your body or of your mind. But here's what happens. You say, oh, if I prayed more, I wouldn't be like this. Oh, if I was a better Christian, I wouldn't be in this condition. Oh, if I had more faith, I wouldn't be struggling in the way that I am right now. Well, let me submit this to you. I don't think many people have ever prayed more or been more godly or had more faith than the Apostle Paul. And if he groaned in his tent, then none of us should be surprised when we find ourselves groaning in ours. All Christians grow under some frailty that arises from the body. This is part of the nature of the Christian life on earth. And becoming more godly does not make this experience less. It doesn't take it away. We carry that burden. We do. Paul says that. Now, as if this weren't humbling enough, that our body is compared to something as lowly and as fragile as a tent, and that we're reminded here by the apostle, this great spiritual leader, that the best of us at our most godly are going to experience groaning in the tent. Here's another dose of healthy medicine, that the tent itself will eventually be taken down. We know, verse 1, that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, literally taken down. Now, friends, think how easy it is to take down a tent. If you want to take down a house, you have to bring a bulldozer and it'll take a bit of time. But to take down a tent, all you need to do is you just loosen a few ropes and you pull up the pegs. And there it is, lying in a heap on the ground. One day, the tent of your body will be taken down. And this is a very apt picture. God himself will slacken the ropes. God will pull up the tent pegs. And there will be the tent that is your body. And it will be, as it were, there in a heap on the ground. Now, Thomas Boston says, I think, rather beautifully, he says, always remember you have no security in this house. One day you're going to be moved out of it. One day the tent is going to be taken down and you're going to be forced out of doors. Now, I want you just to notice before we move on here that Paul says, if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed. And I think that he says if because another possibility was always in the mind of the apostle. And that was that the Lord Jesus himself might return in glory while he was still alive. And indeed, Jesus Christ may come before your tent is taken down. That's a wonderful thought. But that does not keep Paul from facing the reality that has been the experience of every Christian for more than 2,000 years. At some point, the tent gets taken down. I pause there for a moment. I wonder how you're getting along with this wonderfully inspiring and uplifting message that we are sharing here together today. Actually, it is really important. Really important. We desperately need a healthy dose of realism about the Christian's life on earth. And here's why. If you start out thinking that the Christian life is going to be like heaven on earth, you will not follow Jesus Christ for long. You won't. You'll become the kind of person who often hangs out in church, who spends years and years going round and round and round in circles, saying, "Why am I suffering? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is my life so hard?" You will become like the rocky ground that does receive the seed, but the soil is very, very shallow. And so when the seed grows up and then the sun begins to beat down on it, what has grown becomes scorched. It doesn't last because it does not have an adequate root. Listen to how Jesus describes the Christian life on earth. "If anyone would come after me," he says, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny yourself. You are not going to get everything that you want here on earth. And take up your cross. You are going to have to carry some things that will be very, very difficult. And that's part of what it's like to follow me. That does not sound to me like the Lord Jesus Christ promising a wonderful life on earth. He is not saying, follow me and I'll give you everything you ever wanted. Here's the problem that we are facing, folks. It is really hard to be a Christian if you get following Jesus mixed up with the American dream. And that is what has happened so widely in our culture. People have confused these two things. And so when life does not work out in the way that the dream has been cast, you are perpetually disappointed. And you are always losing heart. So please take on board this word of biblical realism. This healthy medicine that God gives to us to enable us to endure in life in this world so that we will not lose heart. Please don't make the mistake of thinking that following Jesus in this world will be like life in a palace. The life of a Christian in this world is like life in a tent. It's a fragile structure that will one day be taken down. And the experience of the Christian in it includes a great deal of groaning. Now, I say to you that if you believe this, what God is saying in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 1, if you believe this, this healthy dose of biblical realism will greatly help you so that you do not lose heart. We need it. We need every part of the Word of God, and we desperately need what is before us in the Scriptures today.
What a great reminder that we don't live in a palace in the here and now. We live in a fragile structure in this tent, and one day it will be torn down. And as we have this healthy dose of realism, it will help us not to lose heart, as we're reminded that we're prepared for something better. In fact, that's the title of this message, Prepared for Something Better, the first in our series, Don't Lose Heart. You know, some of us might be saying, well, how do we do that? How do you not lose heart? In a world like this, in a world where pressures and discouragement comes, where we feel overwhelmed. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we're studying, answers that question. If you want to get a copy of today's message or this series, Don't Lose Heart, come to our website, OpenTheBible.org, or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, you'll find ordering information online at OpenTheBible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station, make the podcast, the app, and all the ministry tools available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thanks of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what would you say this book is really about?
Well, it's about people in the Bible who had doubts. And, you know, if someone listening has doubts, you've probably thought to yourself, well, I must be the only person who's ever had this kind of experience of doubting. Well, guess what? You are not alone. That in the Bible, there are many people who went through different kinds of doubt. And Phil Reichen has pulled out the stories of no less than 10 of them. And he tells in a compelling way the stories of people who have walked through doubt and a crisis of faith. And it's full of wisdom for the weary doubter. It really is a help and an encouragement for a person who's going through this dark valley. Not only will you discover how these characters in the Bible move through their doubts, but you'll see how God graciously dealt with each and every one of them, sustaining and restoring and reawakening their faith. Your doubt may be, in God's grace, the passage by which He brings you into a stronger faith than you've ever known before.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is the food that will nourish your soul. You need it every day. And Open the Bible Daily is a daily devotional that will open the Word of God and lead you to Jesus. It's available for free on our website, openthebible.org. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.